Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
Sweet home Chicago, we are live from the 2022 Draft Combine. This is where tomorrow's stars have the chance to shine in front of the NBA's top executives. And on this floor at the Wintrust Arena, 76 players are going to compete in five-on-five games, as well as shooting, strength, agility, in the hopes of walking in the shoes of Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum.
Welcome to the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat. I'm Jason Tatum. I don't think anybody on the Heat team can defend it. This rising superstar has been just magnificent. Tatum, sidestep, three-pointer, pucks it in. The third quarter has been the best quarter for the Heat so far in these playoffs. What a turnaround here in this third period. This is a Miami Heat avalanche.
The start that Jason Tatum had sparked something in Jimmy Butler.
I don't care if it's a big stage or who's watching. I know why I do what I do.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank. We are in the Wintrust Arena in Chicago for the Draft Combine. I'm Malika Andrews. That's Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, and Zach Lowe. Adrian Wojnarowski is going to be by in just a bit. So yesterday, I channeled my inner Hamilton.
Okay.
Any requests for today?
No.
Fine. Well, then we'll just move along to some magic numbers, starting with the number 3, because that is where it got really special for the Miami Heat last night. Let's jump ahead to the third quarter. Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1. Entering Tuesday, Richard, the Heat plus 68 in the third quarter this postseason. That's the best in the NBA, and we saw that on full display. They'd kick it off with a 5-1 run.
Well, and this is the thing that the Boston Celtics know, that the league knows, that you talk about, like, hey, look, this team comes out in the third quarter. Let's lock in. Let's be focused, because this is what they do. But this, Malika, was unexpected. When you watch these guys come out and play against this, look at that. Woo. That's just impressive. We talked about Bam being the number one guy.
4 blocks for Bam Adebayo, 12 blocks for the Heat
as a team.
That
should count as two. That's 2 blocks.
Wedgie.
I get a wedgie action. Yeah, that's a deep wedgie. All right, now a 16-2 run. Struess. We know you love some Struess, Zach Lowe.
Struess!
Wow. Okay, so the Struess seals it from Jason Tatum, throws it down on the other end. The Heat, they go on a 22-2 run to start the third quarter.
Okay, Hove.
I mean, my goodness. And this is later in the third, Richard.
Yeah, and look, when everything is rolling, that's just one of the things that you see. But I will talk about this. Not having, you know who doesn't have? Not having Marcus Smart. Not having Al Horford. Me and Perk and JJ were texting before the game. Could they get it done without him? Apparently not.
Well, no. Let's take a listen to them after the game.
I mean, yeah, they came out. Gotta give them credit. They play hard. They, you know, played faster in the second half. You know, I think we just kind of went away from what was working in the first half. And that's just something we got to be aware of, you know, on Thursday.
More than anything, it just shows us what we're capable of whenever we worry about getting stops, getting into the open floor, getting to the free throw line, all of those good things. I expect us to be able to do that every quarter from here on out.
Got out tough, out physical. They looked like they came out in the second half, you know, and wanted to up their physicality and aggression on both ends, and they did that.
So this is the deal. It's about the Heat turning it up, but the Celtics, they were also historically bad in the third. They were outscored by 25, their second worst in any quarter in franchise postseason history. Boston made just 2 of their 15 attempts in the third. That's their worst shooting quarter over the last 4 seasons. I don't want to waste any time here, so I'm gonna try the, let's just get it, right?
Yeah.
What happened in the third, Richard?
Fatigue. I think there was a fatigue factor, and on top of it, you're shorthanded. So you don't have two of your studs. You're coming off a game seven. Game sevens can be emotional. They can also be draining. And we know that going into that Milwaukee series, that the Milwaukee-Boston series, it was neck and neck. You didn't know who was going to win. And I don't think the players did either. So they were exerting themselves to 105%. They got, you know, Marcus Smart is injured. He has to be out a day because these guys were pushing their bodies to the limit. You come in here, you have a great first half, your focus, but the Miami Heat, they just started to wear on you and wear you down, and ultimately I think that's what was the difference in the game.
I'm right there with you, and I'm a piggyback on it because I tweeted after the Celtics beat the Bucks that they didn't have time to celebrate.
Yeah,
like you have a quick turnaround, a day in between where you have to travel and get to Miami, a new game plan, all the above, where the Miami Heat had been waiting on them goons from Dade County
at home
since Thursday, right? So you look at it, what happened was in the third quarter, one team had their legs and had the juice, and the other team didn't. I don't want to discredit what the Miami Heat did because they came out and did what they were supposed to do on the defensive side of things. But at the end of the day, this is why you don't want to go to game sevens. Mm. This is why you want to handle your business, because you could run into a situation like this where a team is waiting on you. And from a guy that has played 140-plus playoff games, you know, 30-something game sevens, this is where you put yourself in that position.
Well, I played zero playoff games, but I still know that a team that was playing eight guys coming off a seven-game series was missing two of those guys. That gets me down to six before I go deeper into my bench. That's a problem. But what happened is the Heat happened. The Heat came out of the locker room and said, oh, we were a top-five defense all year. Here's why. They played with a much greater intensity. Bam was much more into the ball, into the rim protection. And they just took it to the Celtics. Some of these plays that I loved, we're going to look at it. Look, they want the Max Strus switch. Jimmy Butler's just going to sit there in the middle. I'm not giving you that switch. I know what you want. And then he goes back, and there's two there. Someone should be open, but Bam in there can guard two guys. It's perfect defense. Jimmy can gamble like that because he knows he's got Bam behind him. And it wasn't just Jimmy. Victor Oladipo, watch this double rotation this guy makes on one play. He's in, and as soon as he sees Jaylen Brown going to pass, he's with the flight of the ball. No shot there for Aaron Nesmith, who played some pretty good minutes. And the same thing again on the same play. To make this rotation twice in like 8 seconds is really hard, and then to throw this thing back in Aaron Nesmith's face, holy smokes. Man. That is a team that came out of the locker room like, we are going to just outwork you and out-effort you and fly around the floor.
And to add on to that point, Zach, that film that you just broke down, Rich, you could contest to this. We drilled that particular drill where guy comes over, sink and feel, X on the weak side all day long when you're trying to be tied on the string. And all I saw was communication. That's what championships caliber teams do. They build on communication.
And even Tyler Hero was ready. Yep. So what happens in that screen is if they do decide to screen Victor Oladipo in, then all of a sudden Tyler Hero goes to the corner, and then they X out. So when you look at those, they were in perfect defensive position. They were ready to go. And I'll say this. The Boston Celtics could have gotten away with that type of, offensive performance in the Milwaukee series, because Milwaukee wasn't, an overpowering offensive team. When you look at no Middleton, so they were just a little bit shorthanded offensively. Against this Heat team, you're going to need to play that defense and be pretty good on offense, or else it's just going to get evenly or unmatched.
Well, and as you guys said, it wasn't just Boston being awful. This was about Miami.
Yes.
More specifically, this was about Jimmy Buckets Butler. He was a force in the third. He outscored the Celtics 17-14 by himself.
Uh-oh.
So let's take a little bit of a closer look at this game, because Jimmy, he led the Heat to a game one win. Doing all the little things, intercepting Jason Tatum's pass, going down the court, floating it in. This is when it mattered most, Richard.
Yeah, it's impressive, because what I love about Jimmy Butler and the way he played, 17 for 18 from the free throw line. And he's not this physically over-the-top gifted guy. So, most of his free throws are because he's just outworking people, putting people in a position to have to make a play. It's not tricking the referees. Everybody has a little trick in the referees in them, but it's not gaming the game. It's the pump fakes. It's the driving into people. It's the putting pressure on you. Jimmy Butler just plays a very aggressive game here in the postseason. And here, look at this. And once you've got your rhythm, that type of shot, it's just smooth. It's easy. This is the same guy that was shutting down Giannis, that was contesting Kevin Durant, and it was just impressive, Jimmy doing
41 points. Here's Jimmy Butler after the game.
Wow.
Butler gets inside and banks it home. Another Jimmy Butler masterpiece.
I play the way that I play to win by all means necessary, and it just so happened that I scored 40.
Butler down the end, throws it down.
Jimmy Butler is an elite competitor. He's competing to win. It's a totally different thing, and he does that as well as anybody in this league.
Lopez gets it, fires for three, got it! Oh, Jimmy Buckets with a big one!
I don't care if it's a big stage.
Backing in Spence, falling away. It's good! Jimmy Butler makes a face.
I do what I do for my family, for my people, for my organization, for my teammates. That's it.
So here's the deal. Jimmy Butler already has three 40-point games this postseason, most in the single postseason in Heat history. He's already averaging 17 points per game just in the second half in these playoffs. Only Kobe and KD have averaged more in a single season, single postseason, over the last 25 years. I know you guys didn't do this, but Zach Lowe, he wrote 2,526 words on the draft combine.
On the lottery. The lottery. Dude, I could write 5,000 on the lottery.
Please don't. I don't need that many words on Jimmy Butler. I just need one. If you were to sum up his performance last night in one word, not 2,526, it would be
Terminator. Absolute ruthlessness, ruthless efficiency on offense. Where's somebody I can bully? Derek White, I can bully you. Bring him up to me. Peyton Pritchard, bring him up to me. No wasted possessions, no wasted time, ruthless. And on defense, he was like the Terminator doing those calculations in his head like he had a computer brain. Where's the ball going to go next? He was ahead of the Boston offense. He diagnosed everything they were about to do, and then he just took their lunch money like four times in a row. He had back-to-back pick sixes. You never see that happen. Jason Tatum just threw him the ball. He knew what was coming, and he was ruthless. That was a Terminator-level performance.
Well,
I don't never follow the rules, so I'm going two words. Playoff. Postseason superstar.
That's that was Jimmy, three words.
Now we got a hyphen involved.
Postseason superstar. That's what Jimmy Butler is. And why I say that is because he understands the assignment now. The worst thing that could have happened for the NBA was him going to the finals 2 years ago, because now he knows it's a marathon and not a sprint. The one thing we realize about Jimmy Butler is he doesn't care about the regular season. And when I say don't care, meaning he's not really focused on making an all-star team. He's not focused on leading the league and scoring.
Anyway,
no, he does. Because that's who he is. But he knows that, hey, I need my body to be fresh. I need to be the best at when it matters the most. And all of a sudden, he turns it on, and he becomes a top five player in the NBA as soon as the postseason starts.
I don't remember what I said, so can we put up the graphic? Can we put up the graphic really quickly?
Do you guys see what I have?
It's different. Yes. Jimmy Butler is different. And the reason why I like it is that when you look at these numbers, he is a guard. And you see the jumpers. You see he didn't hit any threes. There was no threes. So this was like an old school, hyper efficient 12 for 19, 17 for 18 from the free throw line. And this is where you miss Marcus Smart. This is where you miss an Al Horford in rotations. Because if you don't have that, if you look at what Jimmy Butler did, especially in that third quarter, if they have Marcus Smart, I'm not saying that Jimmy can't go get his buckets, but at least there's another body. The defensive player of the year on the perimeter is not there, and they took advantage of it.
Well, and that begs the question. We've shown all the stats. We've discussed how just excellent Jimmy Butler was last night throughout this postseason. Richard, how sustainable is this?
Well, To Perk's point, when he talked about he went to the finals 2 years ago, and it looked like he ran out of gas because he was going against possibly the only person in the world that can put up these type of numbers throughout an entire postseason, and that was LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And he ran out of gas because it is exhausting. A lot of guys can do this two, three times. To do it throughout an entire postseason is so difficult. But Jimmy, he looks like he's in the condition to do it now, and it's just a matter of whether or not he can sustain this for this round and then one more round.
And by the way, he's also guarding Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Yeah. Like, there are no seconds off for him. And we haven't even mentioned, talking about the Celtics being shorthanded, Kyle Lowry's out. Like, the Heat are missing a borderline all-star level point guard, too.
Yeah.
Park?
It's culture. It's culture. And I said it like 2 weeks ago. When you talk about being in shape, being in condition, it's no other organization that gets you prepared like the Miami Heat. Yep. Like, you got to be under a certain percent body fat. Mm-hmm. They're watching your diet, all because they know it's about the long game. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at Jimmy Butler and you ask, can he sustain this? Hell yeah.
All right, so that's the eastern side of things. But we're going to get to the western side of things coming up on NBA Today. Live reports from San Francisco ahead of the Western Conference Finals.
Daddy Doncic.
Look at Luka representing for the whack
that.
Bodies.
That awaits.
Daddy Doncic. That's what they call him, Daddy Doncic.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank. See how we can make a difference. And in part by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's the moment that we've all been waiting for.
This draft is deep. It's a real debate at number one.
The first pick goes to the Orlando Magic.
It's so exciting. It's so much to look forward to with this organization, with this group, and this fan base. It's going to be special.
Here's the updated mock draft after the lottery. That's according to our Jonathan Gavoni. It has Jabari Smith going first overall to the Magic, and then Chet Holmgren to the Thunder, Paolo Banchero to the Rockets, Keegan Murray to the Kings, Jaden Ivey to the Pistons. Welcome back inside Wintrust Arena. It's home to the WNBA's Sky. And draft analyst Mike Schmitz is joining us now. And you know what that means. It means that Zach couldn't be more excited because we get to talk about the lottery.
Yeah. So, yeah. I haven't seen Zach smile that much since we were talking about Anthony Edwards' dog.
It's a little bit frightening.
Anthony Edwards Jr.
Anthony Edwards Jr. Zach, since this is you're literally your baby, what was your biggest takeaway from last night?
I think two teams that really needed it got the number one and two picks in the draft, and that starts with Orlando. Since Dwight Howard forced a trade, they've just been living in purgatory, either really bad but never moving up in the lottery to get the guy, or just mediocre and drafting in the middle of the first round. They drafted some good players. They drafted some nice support players. The one year they really moved up and had a super high pick was 2013, which was like the year you didn't want a top three pick, and they got Victor Oladipo, who's good, and then they traded him. They've just been begging for something to center this rebuild, which has been endless around for so long. And now they finally have their chance to do it. And as Perk's going to talk about, they're starting to collect a bunch of interesting players, but they've done that before. What they've been missing is the tent pole to build around them. And this is their chance finally to get it.
Perk, before we get to you, Richard, on our pre-show call this morning, you were talking about the Orlando Magic. What intrigues you about them getting the number one pick?
Well, I really love the culture that Jamal Mosley is trying to build. I had him as a coach. I've known him for years, especially like when I played in Dallas. But in Dallas, he brought out Wendell Carter. He brought out Cole Anthony. And he's just like, hey, I want these guys to experience the postseason. I want them to see the prep. I want them to feel the energy. He wants his guys to understand what it takes to get there and why you're fighting so hard.
Yep.
So to see a coach put that type of energy already, the season just ended for them a month and a half ago. So to see him already putting energy into his guys into next year, to see him get the number one pick, it just means that the culture is starting to change in Orlando.
Mike, you've been on the Chet Holmgren beat essentially for the past 3 years, right?
Yep.
What makes him such a can't-miss prospect?
Well, there's only so many seven-footers on this entire earth with a 7'6 wingspan who can pass, dribble, shoot, and protect the rim at such a high level. So we talk so much about his shot blocking and the three-point shooting, but there are two things that stand out most to me, okay? And I was able to go to Santa Barbara, spend some time around him. Perk, we talked about this the other day. He's mean.
Yes.
He's buck 95, 200 pounds. No, don't get it twisted. He is mean and focused and aggressive, and being around him a couple days and just watching his preparation.
He was
how he breaks it. Yeah.
That's mean. You got a sense of mean.
His photo on the mock draft graphic that was just
saying, you don't look happy right there.
He's not afraid one bit, right? So, you know, he's there early, he stays late, the whole deal, right? On top of that, he's not just this rim-running, pick-and-pop guy. Like, he can handle the ball. He has legitimate wing skills. Like, he's going to be playing pick-and-roll like Evan Mobley, like Jaren Jackson, different bigs, like, putting the ball in his hands. And, you know, I can talk about this workout and all that, but let's just show you. Let's show you some of the stuff we talked about out in Santa Barbara and break it down. Let's roll the tape.
And you would say he's more skilled than Evan Mobley and Jaren Jackson.
Yes.
For the upcoming draft.
He's the total package. He can do it all out of the floor.
Chet Holmgren, are you serious? Wow!
Mike Schmitz of ESPN here in Santa Barbara. Chet Holmgren, Packy Turner. Chet, I think what makes you special is at your size, your ability to handle the ball, play pick and roll, bust out of handoffs. What makes you so effective in those situations?
Just reading the defense and taking what they give me, you know, not forcing anything and not trying to take something that's not there.
Holmgren made it look easy.
Look how fluid he is. It's not fair.
One thing I've seen from you too, just watching you work out, is you have step backs, side steps. Maybe take us through like the cadence of one of those moves.
When I'm going and they're on my head, that's when I use my pocket to use those step backs to kind of create some space.
Okay.
And then, you know, now use the arm so I can really use my body.
So let's see you roasting our guy Packy here. So he's getting into the ball, he's getting into you. Feel him on your hip. Stop, pop, splash.
Yeah. Do you believe in unicorns?
I think I didn't until tonight, but I think I might now.
We're going to break down your film here. This is, an action that NBA teams are going to use you in, right? Maybe not this exactly, but whether you're busting out of the corner into a handoff, right? So what are you reading in the defender that leads to this decision?
At the end of the day, if a defender wants to go under a screen or shoot the gap on a screen, they're basically, you know, saying that you can't hit that stop behind three. So that's the read every time.
Yeah.
And just knock that down.
Evan Mobley, Cleveland used him a lot in these type of situations, you know, kind of 4-5 pick and roll. What do you like about this? And do you foresee yourself kind of functioning in some of these as well?
I love this, and I love that the NBA is going in this direction. I definitely see myself doing it.
What do you love about this?
I just love seeing a 7-footer like myself. Obviously, I'm a mobile great player. Come off a middle ball screen and skip into an elbow pull-up.
How excited are you for the NBA game and just how open it is and kind of to be able to show some of that versatility?
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be able to play in the NBA. It's been a lifelong dream to be able to, you know, play at that level, compete at that level. So, you know, I'm excited to show what I can do.
Well, Chet, it's been great to kind of track your development, get to know you a little bit over these last few years, and best of luck along the way. Appreciate it, man.
So we only saw like maybe 20% of what he can do offensively given the situation at Gonzaga. So, Perk, I'm going to throw it to you. What is the best fit for Chet Holmgren?
Oh, you know I'm being biased. H-Town, Houston. but here's why, right? You look at Jalen Green, and we watched him progress throughout the last part of the season. He was dropping 40 pieces, things to that nature. And I talk about looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers and that the Rockets should try to mimic what they're doing, right? They had Darius Garland. They added Evan Mobley. Why not add Chet Holmgren? Like, I know he's probably going to go number one because he's the true
definition. I don't know if he's going to get that far down.
I understand that, but he's a true definition of a generational talent. But if Houston could land him, like, with the combination between him and Jalen Green will be great, a great starting point, and I could see them being the next version of Evan Mobley and Darius Garland and what they did in the leap that the Cleveland Cavaliers took this season.
Well, speaking of the Cleveland Cavaliers, we have a special guest who's stopping by our show coming up soon on NBA Today. Mike Schmitz, thank you so much for your insight.
Absolutely.
JB Bickerstaff, the Cavs head coach, he joins the show. Which team does he think is the hardest to game plan for amongst our conference finalists? And two of those teams, they square off tonight. A full preview of tonight's Western Conference Finals Game 1 between Steph and, what did you call him, Richard? Luka?
Daddy Doncic.
Oh, Lordy. And those two, they're high. Here we go. Richard Jefferson, does he still have it? Find out next as NBA Advisor. Today continues.
Advisor. 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 Advisor.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Did 2 years off remotivate us? Absolutely.
The Golden State Warriors are headed back to the Western Conference Finals.
This one feels good, but we know how tough the next round is going to be.
And the Dallas Mavericks are going to the Western Conference Finals.
Nobody picked us, so it was motivational for us.
This is my man, and I'm willing to rain. Try me, must be out of your brains. King blood, feel it run through my veins.
I always want that feeling to win a championship. How do I get that feeling back?
Steve Kerr is back coaching in the conference finals. Kerr's been 20-7. That's his record in this round. The best win percentage by any head coach in the conference finals history with at least 15 games of experience. So we've gotten the perspectives of my friends, my analysts here on set. But I want to go to San Francisco and get some insight from our reporters, Tim McMahon and Kendra Andrews, joining us now. Tim, I want to start with you here. What stood out to you? What caught your attention about what Mavs head coach Jason Kidd said about Steve Kerr?
Well, first of all, Malika, I hope we're still friends, but when they asked Kidd about playing Steve Kerr, he goes, yeah, I remember. He played with Michael Jordan. He was kidding. So this is Jason Kidd who will tell you the Mavericks championship team was Dirk and, quote, a bunch of burgers. So he knows about fitting in with a superstar, and that's what he said. Steve Kerr hit big shots. He fits so well with superstars. And look, Mavericks fans, they remember. It wasn't just with Michael Jordan. With Tim Duncan, you go back to the 03 West Finals. Game 6, closeout game in Dallas. Steve Kerr, 4-4 from 3, hit 3 big ones in the fourth quarter. And Jay Kidd said Steve Kerr doesn't get his just due for being a great role player. He was a winner then, and that's obviously carried over into his coaching career.
Tim, thank you. Kendra, I want to get the opinion from the flip side of all of this. What did Steve Kerr say about Jason Kidd?
Yeah, Malika, well, what Steve Kerr said that he and Jason Kidd have in common is that they both inherited teams with an already established core. And he says it's a lot easier to implement changes when you're working with a group that already has some continuity. Now, where he said they differ, particularly where Jason Kidd differs, is that a lot of players turned coaches were role players, not Hall of Famers. Steve said not a lot of superstar top 25 guys like Jason go on to do this coaching for a very long time. But Jason, he's different. As for what Steve remembers playing Jason from their days on the court, he said that he remembers his speed and his force that Jason played with. Maybe it wasn't translated well over TV, but you felt it when you were on the court with him. But Steve then joked, luckily, I wasn't the one who had to defend him.
Kendra, thank you so much. Bringing it back here on set in Chicago. Have fun at game one. We have our very own head coach joining our set. JB, I got to do it. John Blair,
yeah.
Bickerstaff. After. And JB, yeah. You've had to game plan for games against both Steve Kerr's teams and Jason Kidd's teams. What stands out to you about how they approach the game and what they're going to do tonight in game one?
Just how dynamic they are. They're both dynamic, but they're completely different in how they get it done. If you take Golden State, for example, Golden State gets done by movement, right? It's not only ball movement, but the two guys that you're chasing around the floor and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are two of the most lethal guys offensively But you don't get to just stare at them and see where they are. You have to go out and find them. You have to chase them. You know, you got big guys that have to be alert to their movement. And then with Luka, it's a lot of pick and roll, right? So it's more stationary offense than the movement. But you've got a guy who's such a dynamic playmaker that he can make all the reads, and he just waits for the defense to make a mistake. And then if you don't make a mistake, he just scores it himself. So they're both dynamic. You know, you can't say one is better than the other because obviously they're both capable of getting it done.
I'm sorry. I looked over there for a second because Richard almost just broke our table. So that's cool. If we're talking about game planning for Steph Curry and Luka Doncic, two of the most potent players in the game today, what stands out to you about what adjustments they're going to need to make?
Well, that's the fun part of the playoffs, right? And that's why you get into coaching and try to figure out, you know, can you match wits with that guy that's across from you? Both of them are, like I said, extremely dynamic. You know, with Luka, you know where he's going to be. Luka's going to be in front of you. He's going to have the ball in his hands. They're going to bring multiple people to play pick and roll with him, and then they're going to space the ball, space the floor around him. With Steph, he's going to be all over the place.
Yep.
And I think that's where he's so difficult, is he's going to be on the baseline sometimes. He's going to be handling it sometimes. He's going to be trailing. He's going to fill the corner.
Yep.
So he's more difficult to locate. But obviously, they're both capable of getting the job done with the ball in their hands.
Richard, why the stank face?
Well, because that little spin, step back three is disgusting. Like that, like we just gloss over it because he does it all the time. We don't see many guys do that specific move. Steph does it. I think we've seen James do it, James Harden do it. And I'd even say, like, Kevin Durant. But that little in the corner, post up, step back, spin, like that, you can't guard it. And he does it so effortlessly. Like, there's just nothing you can do in those moments.
Zach, who is tougher to defend, in your estimation, the Mavericks or the Warriors?
As a team, I think the Warriors just are so different that it takes teams. You can see in playoff series, it takes a game or two to get used to playing against them. Mm. After playing, you can talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
You guys had trouble. Those first two games are like, boom.
Worst two losses combined in NBA Finals history, like our Game 1 and Game 2 combined total score. Because it just we had cruised through the Eastern Conference, and then you get there, and they're a different monster. If you're in the Western Conference, you get them four times a year. If you're in the Eastern Conference, you only get them once or twice, so it's like, even then, those first two games are literally just trying to figure it out.
Just trying to get your sea legs.
Yeah.
But individually, I mean, Luka is just
tough.
A killer.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do with
right.
him. He's too big. He can see every pass. And to the point you just made, the hallmark of a superstar is he can beat you with shots that you're supposed to live with as a defense, with floaters, with stepbacks. He can make enough of them that you'll still lose the game.
Yeah, and when you think about Golden State, right, Coach JB was right. You talk about the player movement, the ball movement. In order to beat them, you also got to have IQ on the floor. Like, the first step of defense is communication. If you're not communicating on those switches or those back picks or those pin downs, whatever the case may be, you're dead bird, tall grass. So that's what I saw with the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, it was so many times I'm like, how did y'all miscommunicate this switch? This is Steph Curry. Why is Jaren Jackson Jr. not up on the screen when he's supposed to be, when Steph Curry is coming off the pick? But when you look at Luka, he giving me that LeBron James type vibe, where it's like, okay, how can I actually guard him? Do I send a double team? You really can't, because he's so good at picking the defense apart on time, on target passes. So it's going to be a fun series. That's why I'm not picking either one of them.
JB, when you were coaching against Luka,
is that allowed?
It is allowed.
He makes his own rules. I just, it's Perk's world. We all just live in it. But when you were coaching against Luka this year, would you say that you saw this, the potential for them to not only make it out of the first round for the first time, but push all the way through to the Western Conference Finals?
We played him late. We played him early in the year, and we were able to beat him down in Dallas, and then we played him late, and they beat us in Cleveland. And you saw the trajectory and how they were trending. You saw that, you know, obviously they talked about his conditioning earlier in the year, and he addressed that, and to where he is now, to be able to have to carry a team. And I think with his skill set, the way that they improved defensively, I think that's one of the things that we're missing here too, is we're talking a lot of offense. But if you look at these conference finals, the defense is going to be what gets it done. We saw it last night.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to defend, and they've improved on the defensive end of the
game. Man, I can't wait for this game. It is the first time, by the way, that the Mavs and the Warriors have faced off in the playoffs since that We Believe upset. So this is going to be fun. Mm. JB, thank you so much for joining Richard Dolores and company and I here on NBA Today.
Stop.
Speaking of Luka's excellence, you know who else was excellent? Tyler Hero. And our panel said that we needed a Bubba Hero to show up for game one. That's exactly what happened. But it's what happened post-game that you really have to see. Find out. That's next.
You're singing again.
I can't help it. It just comes out of me. It just does.
Perk, you played in this, right?
No.
I didn't ask you.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
Whatever degree you spent time preparing to go up against him, you find out probably right when you get to the arena. Good Lord.
Damn.
We're trying to talk here, and you show up with the sleeve monster got you.
Fashionably late.
Do you own that vest, Perk?
No, but I can.
I think we need to get it.
That's what I'm planning on wearing when I get to Miami.
Did they catch any shots? Do you guys have any shots of you guys like that?
No, I mean.
We can do it right now.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it right now. I think you might be wrong. I think we do have shots of you guys
I feel like they're swapped. I feel like I should be on the left and the right.
I think that's very accurate. I do. Well, I was expecting more out of you, really. I thought you had more muscles. I know Zach Lowe.
Look, I don't know what the FCC kind of rules are about nudity. Look at Zach. My name is Zach Lowe.
Nice tattoo.
Look at that tat.
I am a part of the highly successful Low Post podcast.
And I want to bomb.
Couldn't fit all that. I need the other arm.
Okay, where's Woj? Where's Woj?
No.
Do we have Malika?
Oh, come on. My biceps would break the screen. They would be so big. All right, we need to get this back on track. Okay, let's talk about the actual game. What can you tell us about the status of Al Horford for game two?
Yeah, he remains in health and safety protocols. I think it remains unlikely that he's back for game two. I think there's a lot of conversation going on between the Celtics and the league office, but he would have to make some progress in these protocols. You know, things would have to change for him to somehow become able and active for game two. But right now, the Celtics are certainly preparing for the likelihood that he misses game two, and they go from there in this series with him.
Marcus Smart was also not on the court for that game one. What can you tell us about his status for game two?
Well, I'm told there was some good news today. He shed that walking boot that he was using. He doesn't need that. No, he's gotten out. He's got some treatment. He's been able to do some things on the floor to try to test out that foot, not put too much pressure on it. But that very much is going to be a decision made tomorrow. That one's going to go into, you know, perhaps closer to game time. You know, I know with Marcus Smart, he does not like to miss two games in a row. You don't see him do that often. But this is a real injury, and I think they'll have a better sense tomorrow. But he has made progress. We'll see what it looks like tomorrow night in Miami before game two.
Woj, thank you so much for that insight. Perk, when we're talking about the Celtics, we saw them get up big and then struggle in that third quarter. Can they win this series, let alone game two, without Al Horford and Marcus Smart, if that's what comes to fruition?
No, they can't. They can win the series without Al Horford, but they can't win the series without Marcus Smart. And I think that they can win the game two without either one of them. Listen, I saw this Celtic team battle adversity all this season. I saw this Celtic team going to Milwaukee. I mean, win a game two without Marcus Smart being there as well. I could touch
Don't
you,
touch
bro.
Me, bro.
Relax. So I think it's going seven. I mean, but they need Marcus Smart, not necessarily Al Horford, because Robert Williams is back.
Absolutely. Woj, again, thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. Next, you don't want to miss this. Richard Jefferson takes on the combine drills with the help of Coach Perk. Oh my.
Woo!
This is a great friend
of mine.
This is a great friend of mine.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to NBA Today. We are here at Wintrust Arena, home of the Microsoft Surface NBA Draft Combine. So for aspiring NBA players, this is essentially a job interview, right? It's a place for them to impress the brass of the NBA, and who better to help them prepare than an absolutely excellent coach?
Oh, wow.
What we talked about yesterday.
Look, I got my all gray Rocky on. I'm ready.
I see it and I love it. You was late, okay?
Yes.
So we'll talk about your punishment after that. But
I thought there was like a window.
No, there's no window. Bro, and today I'm not your damn friend.
Okay, I apologize.
I'm just Coach Perk. I got one of my great friends, the white Double D is what I call him. Double D, listen, he's trying to get back. Okay, he's trying to get back.
He's coming out of retirement.
Why are you laughing?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
I know how old you are.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Damn, why
all right, here we go. All right.
I just want to make sure you understand you're going to get this once, right? So just make sure. Just make sure you're in a position to get this once.
Got it. All right, here we go.
Stop. Man, that's get it, man. You wasting my time.
Max up.
Here we go. Slide. Back pedal.
Drop down a little bit.
Slide.
Touch left
foot. Line.
Get out of there.
Go.
Get out of there.
Go.
There's three steps.
Slide.
Back pedal. Get out of there. Nice.
Uh-oh.
1369. Woo. Why are you breathing so hard?
Because you just see what I did.
Yeah. It was very impressive.
Okay.
Walk through.
Great job.
That's can you touch that?
Can I touch it?
I just asked a question.
Yes, I can touch it. Okay, I'm asking, though. If I jump up there, then you definitely have to be with
me. I'm going to do it.
Oh, nice. All right, that is
we getting to the Richard.
What, bro?
Big picture.
I'm trying, dog. Well, we can go get some steak and lobster after this?
We'll think about it. Yes, everything you got, okay?
All right.
Here we go. We'll go.
Wait. I wasn't ready.
I thought you was ready.
I thought it's on me or him.
It's on
me.
You.
All right. There we go. Finish strong. Nice. How you feel?
Yep. Like if I would have ran another 10 yards, both my hammies would have gone. I have a lot of third round pick in there. A lot of third round pick numbers.
I mean, look. Hey, bro, okay. I know I will never tell you this.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you.
You proud of me?
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Okay.
You killed it, dog.
What'd I do?
Look. Like. Some 30 years later.
30?
Yeah, 30 Wait. Years, like, yeah, okay. 30 years.
Okay,
like,
okay. Wait around.
30 years later, your pole lane was 13 seconds.
Okay.
Your court sprint was 3.5.
Okay.
And your vert was 36.
Yeah.
So this is a bittersweet moment for me because I feel like I'm going to get you a job.
Let's go.
But the sad part about it is that you might not be sitting next to me.
No, I'm good with that. I'm good, but I'm going to need some ice, though, bro.
I'm good.
I'm going to need some ice, though. Ooh. I might should have stretched.
Bro, I'm so proud of you, dog. I'm telling you, I never told you this, but I am. I'm really proud.
Are you okay?
No. I'm not okay. Those sweatpants were not okay.
I wore the gray sweatpants for the ladies, man, you know?
Hey, but I'm telling you.
I had my gray outfit, the grout.
Your grout fit?
My grout fit up.
Hey, I'm so proud of you.
Look, I appreciate that perk. Zach, man, like, look, would you give that guy a job? Now, look, I know that's 245 moving, but 245 with a 36, that ain't bad.
Honestly, as soon as the visor came on television, I couldn't see anything else.
He had his entire Ted Lasso. Look at it, get down low.
I think we accidentally made a pitch for a sitcom starring Perk as a PE teacher. I think that's accidentally what we made.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
You'd be the first pick in the sixth round of 2022 draft.
Yeah, look, and I didn't know, but ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure everybody knows, I did not know I was going to be doing this. This is why I was out there in low top blazers. And I had sweatpants because I didn't have shorts.
Your head shining.
Yeah.
He's working hard. That's hard work.
Did you just see those elite numbers?
You can still get up.
How did that compare to your actual combine numbers?
I'm glad you asked. So I had a 38.5, which we were checking. It would 38.5 would still be number one on the board. Where's they say? Let me see. We can't see it up there. Yeah, but 38.5 would be number one. Mm-hmm. I dropped down. Yeah. In 20 years, I've lost 2.5 inches.
That's nothing, man.
Yeah, you know. Well, some people think 2.5 is something.
Stop talking immediately. I'm going to move on. You can see Game
Are you okay?
No. Tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN and the app. The Countdown crew gets things started at 8 Eastern. Our next WNBA matchup is Saturday afternoon on ABC and the ESPN app. Diana Taurasi and the Mercury square off against the Aces. Our coverage begins at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. And now to Phoenix Mercury star Brittany Griner's wrongful detainment in Russia. Last night, I spoke with Commissioner Adam Silver about the NBA's role in bringing Griner back to the United States. Here's what he told me.
We've been in touch with the White House, the State Department, hostage negotiators, you know, at every level of government and also through the private sector as well. So our number one priority is her health and safety and making sure that she gets out of Russia.
Silver also told me that he's working, quote, side by side with WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert to try to bring Griner home. And on Tuesday, the State Department said that it still is pushing to have regular contact with Griner. We'll continue following this story closely. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank. See how we can make a difference.
So this is our last show from Chicago. So we had to get a little bit of Chicago cuisine in here. How do you guys feel about deep dish pizza?
I want Perk. Go ahead, take a bite.
How you want me to take?
Take a bite of the Italian beef. With that, Perk.
See, here's my thing about deep dish pizza. It's delicious, but it's not pizza.
What is it?
It's like a meat pie.
A meat
Why
pie?
Why do you have such a narrow conception of what pizza can be?
I'm narrow-minded.
Broaden your mind.
She's narrow-minded.
About pizza?
Is.
Try to pick that up.
I'm not. Okay. I don't eat on television.
only
bad things are going to happen.
Have you seen the reverse cams in the arenas where it comes back the other way?
Only bad things are going to happen.
Hey, well,
there's cardboard under it. Did you eat the cardboard?
He totally ate the cardboard. He saw it earlier.
Okay.
Is it bad I can't taste the difference between that and the... No, I'm joking. No, I didn't eat the cardboard.
This is actually a pretty good
That
sandwich.
Actually takes a little skill, like pull the cardboard down.
The only person more seasoned at eating here is Perk.
Well, you worked it off earlier.
If you not go eat your
We're going to sign off from the draft combine. Good luck to all of the gentlemen.
Yeah, good luck. I got a lot of respect.
Their skills on show. NFL Live is coming up next. We will see you all on Monday from Boston.
You're and now I'm going to talk.